The red flashing numbers below here on the sideline will tell me that there are 2 minutes of injury time to be played. I'm looking at the front cover of the programme here in front of me, and four words that tell me extra time if necessary. We could be headed for that. 10 seconds of normal time to go. Killian Roach puts the ball right on onto the far side. Can Clare find the point, or will it be Tipperary that find the match winner? We're level, 2-9 to 15 points. Ball going into the corner once more. That Clare defence now just starting to creak a little as Tipperary continue on the attack. The hop, the solo comes, back out it comes, right onto that far side again, but well cut out in the middle of the field there by Cahill Downs, the Navan man. He drops the ball to the ground. Tipperary still on the attack, coming forward. We're in for a grandstand finish here in Simple Stadium. Another shot coming in, it's heading in towards Killian Roach's crossbar. The umpire's going for the white flag. Tipperary are gone out into the lead. Tipperary 16 points, Clare 2 goals and 9, and that is Tipperary's third point in succession here in these closing 10 or so minutes. 30 minutes, 32 seconds on the clock. Clare, from a position of being 3 points up just a couple of moments ago, have been reeled in, and Tipperary lead. Roach with the kick out to the middle of the field once more. Now Clare under pressure.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick for Clare FM's live coverage of the 2014 Munster Club Hurling Final between Cratlow and Kilmallock. Not long to go now until the 2 o'clock throw-in, and it's time to have a look at where this game could be won and lost. No better two men to do that with than Anthony Daly and Tommy Guilfoyle. They're no strangers to the big occasion. Anthony, that's where I want to start the conversation. The occasion we've seen can often beat a team before they even cross that white line. Is there any fear of that happening with either of these two teams this afternoon?
I don't think so, Derek. I think, you know, when you win the county final, I guess that's the biggest day of the year. That's the year that's the game you target to try and get to and win. If you and you get over that, you're sort of in bonus territory, and then you all of a sudden you're in the Munster final. I don't think the Gaelic Grounds, both teams very familiar with the place, I don't think it'll bother them too much. The occasion, certainly, I don't think it'll be the cause of winning or losing this.
Tommy, the conditions won't be either, because we've just commented on it off air. We're looking down at the flags, we're looking out over at Thomond Park, and the flags just over the scoreboard down to our right hand side, they're not moving. The sun is shining, the grass and the field looks absolutely immaculate. This is set up for a big one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to lend itself to, you know, a good open fest game today. I suppose every player gets up in the morning, I suppose, and especially the morning of a big game, he looks out the window and he sees the sunshine and blue skies, no wind. You know, I mean, that's three excuses gone already.
That depends whether you're back or forward.
It never really worried me.
No, that's true. High or low.
Johnny McMahon, All-Star centre-back with Clare, All-Ireland winner in 95 and 97. I suppose you were one of the first bunch that made a big breakthrough like that for Clare. What does it do for the game in the county to see that kind of success?
Well, I think it's massive, especially for the younger lads. You know, I suppose I remember when we were growing up ourselves, we only dreamt of winning Munster championships because we just couldn't do that, be it at under 21 or senior, you know. But now all young lads, you know, anyone who's picking up a hurley from 6, 7, 8 years of age up, you know, is going down to Thurles tomorrow, having seen Clare maybe win, you know, going for a third All-Ireland, some of them will have seen before the age of 10, you know. And that's fantastic, because I think for them then, they're growing up wanting to play for Clare and feeling that Clare are as good, if not better, than anyone in the county or in the country, you know. So I think it's, you know, it's very hard to quantify that, but I think it definitely has a huge impact, I think, as time will go on. And on top of that, I think what you're seeing now is that all young lads want to play hurling as well, and, you know, let it go from there. But I think it's massive for young lads in the county.
Yeah, James E. O'Connor, taking up that point that success breeds success. We've known the hard work, the slog has gone in, and I suppose now is the time to build on that as well.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, ultimately these players come from their clubs, and I think that's really where the great work has been done. I mean, you know, the development squad coaches get them, but they have to, you know, be at a particular level, and certainly there have been improvements made there. But I think you can trace the root of all this back to the work that's been done in the Ballyeas and the Clonlaras and the Cratlows and the various other clubs around the county. And, you know, an awful lot of people put an awful lot of time in and seeing those guys reap the rewards, hopefully, in the field in Thurles tomorrow is the biggest tribute and the biggest satisfaction that they will get out of it.
I'm here outside Cusick Park with some of Clare's youngest fans around tonight. A magnificent atmosphere around. Let's get the names of our supporters first. Who have I here?
Padraig Brown.
Padraig Brown, where do you come from?
I come from Cree.
Padraig, I want a prediction tonight. Who's going to win?
Clare by a good bit.
What do you think is a good bit?
5 points.
Tell me, if there was somebody to get the winning score, who was it going to be?
Aaron Cunningham,
great stuff, thanks. Who have I got here?
Aveen Brown.
Aveen, are you from Cree as well?
I am, yeah.
Now tell me, Aveen, what's your prediction for tonight?
Clare all the way.
player all the way. Favourite player on the Clare under 21 team?
Colm Galvin,
the man from Clonlara.
A serious obstacle in our way of that three in a row, and these lads were really up for that.
And Tommy, put it up to Clare, they did, but again, courage, heart, determination, all those objectives or adjectives and attributes that we put to this Clare team shone to the fore again, didn't they?
Yeah, I suppose going into the game, I suppose our forward line would have been much heralded. And on that particular evening, I think Tony Kelly, you know, gave an exhibition. Aaron Cunningham, as we've spoken about before, was on fire.
Thank you very much, Joe. Three more wise men down on the sideline, and Derek, of course, the wisest of them all, down to the two lads.
Still, there's two and me. We'll put it that way. I've just been, before I talk to the lads, I've just been talking to Shane Brennan. He says his AC joint is out of place. He knows that better than anybody, given the trade he's in, a physio himself. 4 to 6 weeks is what he thinks will be the recovery time on that. So, not looking good for Shane for the semi final. But David O'Brien, Michael Constantine, David, I'll come to you first. Has the heart cooled?
Yeah, the last few minutes now were fairly hectic, and I suppose it's a lot of relief for Clare, because in the game that probably dominated probably 70% of the game, it was again Limerick got that 10 or 15 minute run at them and put up 9 or 10 points. So that's again Clare going to have to keep working on that.
It was something that had been niggling away, because I think I read somewhere it was after the Leinster game at the Aviva that the realisation kind of came to you that you were in a bit of trouble, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it first happened in July 2013 in a pre-season training, and we tried to manage it as best we could for the entire season last year. And when I came back from Argentina, we looked at different avenues of how to correct it, and surgery was never an option. I was dealing with a lot of surgeons, and they said, this is something we don't really want to do. So I rehabbed it for 3 or 4 months and made my comeback against Leinster in the Aviva Stadium. But I'd say within one scrum, it kind of ripped again, and I knew I was in a bit of bother. And I probably, that was the point when I realised surgery is probably the next option and the worst option that we've been trying to avoid. So I got surgery and rehabbed it for several months, and unfortunately it led us to January and the inevitable news.
And when you came to that decision then, I mean, you came to it yourself, but obviously with the medical advice as well. How difficult was that moment when you kind of realised that this is it?
Yeah, it's very tough, and it's heartbreaking. I've been thinking, if the surgeon hadn't told me, Damien, you need to step back and forget about rugby and concentrate on getting your foot better for quality of life. You kind of ask yourself, if I had kept rehabbing it, how long would I have, torn myself asunder to try and get back to being in a better position.
The scene in it, that we're running up that hill over Nice Clare somewhere, and he spoke about it being a great bonding experience for them. So I'm getting the impression that all these nights of running up the hill in Shannon and over on Croisín brought you a fairly lifelong bond as well.
Look, you had to do it and put it in, but if anyone told me there wasn't great crack in it as well. I mean, Phyllis saying that there was no crack if you were feeling sick and you got sick and all that, but sure, the slagging you get from the lads and the bit of grub would be up the town, maybe in Pickwick's or wherever, or brought in, or afterwards, or if we were in Croisín back into the Sherwood and the crack, you're able to eat the dinner though. I told the story in the book about the sparrow wasn't really built for running up and down the hill in Shannon, but he'd slip into the bushes for a few runs and then appear again, and when he got to the top, Mike could say, that's fantastic running, Sparrow, you're on fire tonight, and the rest of us gasping. But I think there was great fun in that as well, that we all knew that he'd be delivering come June, and that we wanted him right for that and not to kill him in January. But a few of us, the half-back line in particular, probably needed that sort of discussion in January, for sure.
Weeks after the game against Donal Maloney's under-21s last Sunday evening, I got to sit down with Davy Fitzgerald in what was a very busy Sherwood Inn. That explains the background to this one. We started by talking about how the squad have reacted to making the drop to Division 1B after a titanic relegation final against Kilkenny.
Naturally, we're very disappointed. People will say to us we had a great performance. That's not good enough from our standards. We want to win the games. That's what we're about. Give the lads a week off afterwards, and then we've come back training really hard. So we're going through a really hard spell at the moment, so we are, but I couldn't say enough about their attitude. They're an incredible bunch to work with and to train, and you can't put into words how much effort they're putting in, and we just have to be careful that we stay fresh as well, and that we're right for the 24th of May and that big day.
So it's fair to say, David, that relegation hasn't knocked any of the spark out of the lads at all.
No. We've no problem with that. we know, we've seen Limerick the way they dealt with relegation, we've seen Cork the way they dealt with it. Like, both of them have been in 1B last year. Cork ended up coming up winning the Munster Championship in an All-Ireland semi-final. Limerick have been two All-Ireland semi-finals, so that'll just make us more determined to drive on again.
You've played a couple of challenge matches since, Dave. You've got a chance to look at perhaps what we'll call maybe fringe players or squad players. How have you assessed how some of those performances have gone?
Yeah, lads have done all right. It's like, what I'm trying to do now is give lads that didn't play in the league and that are on the panel is give them four games.
The lead up to this game, Dave, you're trying to progress the lads on in terms of what you're doing with them in training and trying to get them to peak at the right time. At this moment in time as we speak now, are you happy with where the squad are in terms of your expectations?
Yeah, listen, the squad, we didn't train really hard towards the end of the league. The last 3 weeks we kind of did very little, so we did. And so we've just topped up now for the last 2 weeks. So the lads are very, very tired at the moment. I'm not expecting much out of them over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And we're hoping then to freshen up maybe 2.5, 3 weeks before the championship is. We'll bring the length of our training down and hopefully the lads will start to freshen up and drive on. We just needed that 2 or 3 weeks to top up for the summer. That's what we did. And training won't be as long then. And we're hoping they'll sharpen up. But listen, as I said before, this is a very young bunch. So they are, and we have to be careful.